seated. All right. First thing we have today is a quiz. This will help those of you who were here last week to remember the things that we went over, and it will help those who weren't here last week to get caught up. Yes, if you put your name on the quiz, you get 10 bonus points. Oh. Okay. Quizzes. The closer you sit to the front, the more likely you are to get a sheet of paper. We may run out by the time we get to the back. You're auditing the class. We'll take a quiz anyway and use it as a paper airplane. Okay, anybody else need? Mr. Antcliffe, you need one. Okay. Okay, if you'll put those on the back seat for people coming in. Okay, if you use your notes, you don't get the bonus points for putting your name on the test. Yeah, you can either use your notes and get no bonus points, or you can not use your notes and put your name on your paper and get 10 bonus points. Spelling will not, you will not be counted off for spelling. You will be grading your own quiz. You do not really think I was going to grade 30 quizzes, did you? In the summer.
You might have missed teaching that much.
Not grading papers. While you're taking your quiz, I will hand out your brain burners, which I found out should be two words instead of one. Per Webster. You guys are crunched up there. No. The books of the extra is not an answer that will be accepted. Okay, you get 10 bonus points for the date if you put the correct date on. There'll be no rewards for wrong answers. And if you put the wrong name on the paper, there'll be no 10 bonus points. That's part of it. Alexis. Could you put those on a chair for people who come in late? Thank you. now passing out the lesson for today. You're confusing me, Courtney. Stop it. Get a lesson yet. Alexis, could you put these on the back table? When you finish your quiz, start on your brain burner. What I'm handing out now is to confuse Emily Mummy. What happened on last week's assignment is it went to number 10 without a 10. The rest of them, 10 through 20, are on this. So the first 10 or first 9 are the same 9. So Emily, don't get too confused. So you don't have to do the first 9 over again, unless you didn't do the first 9, then you have to do them the first time. But Mrs. Dickey, you don't have to do them at all.
We need another one, but I can drink one.
Jessica. Oh, I miss this room. Just because Mrs. Dickey's not going to do the assignment doesn't mean no one else will. Oh. I can run something off. Yeah. I don't know. They're on the web? Okay. Okay. I didn't know that. Okay. I'll do that. Okay, quiz number one. Let's grade our papers. Number one, what is the name of the Greek translation of the Old Testament? Nathan. Septuagint. That is correct. What are the five groupings or divisions of the Old Testament as arranged in an English Bible? Jonathan.
Law, history, poetry, major prophets, and minor prophets.
The law, the books of Moses, the Torah, any one of those would be good for the first group. The books of history, the books of poetry, the major prophets, and the minor prophets. And there's a total of 39 books, and in those groupings, there are either 12 books or 5 books. So 5 in the first, 12 in the second, 5 in the third, 5 in the fourth, and 12 in the fifth. Total of 39 books. Question 3, what are the three groupings or divisions of the Old Testament as arranged in a Hebrew Bible? The law. The prophets and the writings or the scriptures. And what is the name of the group of books that are found in a Catholic Bible which are not found in an English Bible? Ben. the Apocrypha. And the first five books of the Bible and their emphasis or meaning. Number one, Genesis, which means beginnings or origins. Number two, Exodus, which means the way out of, or it's a book of deliverance. The third book, Leviticus, and it is a book about the sacrifices, the priests or the Levites. The fourth book, Numbers, which is a book about the people are numbered for war or the wanderings in the wilderness. It is the story of the Jews from Mount Sinai to the Promised Land. And the fifth book, Deuteronomy, which means second law. So you can give yourself a grade on that quiz, whatever grade you would like to give yourself. Candy, I need to bring candy for taking quizzes. Okay, yeah, good. Yes. What? The first statement was in Exodus. Exodus 20 was the beginning of the first statement of the law. That group of people disobeyed God and did not go into the land. They received the bad report of the 10 spies. They were faithless. God had them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until that generation died off. And then the next generation, who was not taught by their parents those 40 years, had to be taught a second time. Thus the need for Deuteronomy. Okay, brain burner number two. These, okay, you weren't expecting a brain. I could have put Pinky in the brain. I should have. I will do that next time. Okay, brain burner questions. These were on your homework. Some of them were on your assignment. I'll give you a little bit of time to fill in those answers or think about those answers, and we will fill them in about 5 minutes. It's not a brain burner? It's not burning your brain?
No, I was saying
it's burner
brain.
Yep, needs to burn her brain. Okay, let's have some brains burned right now. Burn those brains. Okay, question number one, as you have thought about it on your assignment and this evening. Why would someone believe the days of Genesis 1 are 24-hour days? What are the evidences, supports, or problems for and against this view? Cycle of light and darkness. Who said that? Yes, cycle of light and darkness would give you an indication that it's a 24-hour day. But were cycles of light and darkness 24 hours at the beginning? That would be the argument against. Yes. Okay, we will see where Yom can mean other things too. So that's a good answer, but there are arguments against it. Yes? Okay, all the measurements, because it does talk about 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, etc., all the measurements are taken literally. All right, that's possible. I don't know about all the measurements in the Bible, so I can't say so.
The Jewish people thought it was 6 days based on when God gives them the law telling them to keep the Sabbath.
Okay, keeping the Sabbath was based on 6 days of creation and a day of rest by God. So that would seem to indicate that there's a one-to-one correspondence.
I would ask, when did the earth start
from the very beginning.
Okay. And if the earth rotates at that speed, what is necessary for there to be the establishment of a day?
There would have to be a light source.
There'd have to be a sun.
No, or a light source.
Or a light source, but there was no sun on day one.
There's a light source on day one.
Right, there's a light source. Mr. Antcliffe, what did you say was the first thing?
That's the sun.
Okay.
The cycle
of light and darkness. It says evening and morning. That's a greater description of a day than just a day. So what do I have here? I don't have anything. I just have questions.
I have a question.
All right. That's because we're going to go over it in the notes.
We did a case study on this.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Was how Adam named all the animals in one day.
Okay, could Adam name all the animals in a six-period day, on the sixth day, 24 hours? Could he have named all the animals? One, does it say that he named every animal? I don't know. Number two... Were there the genetic varieties of animals in Adam's day that we have today? Maybe not.
Which would lead you to think what?
That there were fewer animals to name.
The new ones just appeared?
Through genetic mutation, there could be differences of kinds of animals, but not differences... into new animals, such as could Adam have named every species of dog we have in the world today in a 20? No, but in his day there may have been just one kind of dog that had all the genetics to become the different breeds of dogs we have today. So maybe that's what happened.
We don't know.
But my contention would be, I think the purpose of naming the animals was not to give a name to every animal. As an example, I don't think he named all the fish. I don't think he named all the birds that were flying. I think the reason why God had him name the animals was, one, to exert his rule over the earth, and two, to realize that none of them were helpers for him. I don't think he needed to name all the animals for that to be the case.
I just didn't hear that word.
Yeah, what did you just say?
Helpers.
That the animals were not helpers suitable for him. That he knew he needed a companion that was similar to himself. Okay, why would someone believe the days of Genesis 1 are long days? What are the evidences, supports, or problems for or against this view?
That would make all these things seem to be easier.
It would make certain things to be easier.
God said one day to him is like 1,000 years.
God said one day to him is as 1,000 years. And he said what else in addition to that?
1,000 years.
So what are we going to do? We're going to go round and round, aren't we? You're going to take my day and make it 1,000 years, and I'm going to take your 1,000 years and make it a day. We're just going to go round and round on that one. We'll get to that verse. There's another reason why that verse is suspect. Yes?
I would say that just because it was oral tradition for so long before it was actually written down, that instead of like being a specific day, it was more like a general idea of how they thought about God.
Okay, maybe it's just a story of trying to explain how God created the heavens and the earth, and the time period is not that relevant. What is relevant is that he created these things. All right, we'll get to that in the lesson. Brain burner question number 3. What are some similarities between men and angels? They have personality, which we mean by that they have will, intellect, and emotions. Theologically speaking, an individual that has personality has intellect, emotion, and will. That would make the angels and men both like what? God. Because God has intellect, emotion, and will. What are some other similarities between men and angels?
They were both made to glorify God.
They were both made, and they were both made to glorify God. So they're both created individuals, and they both have a similar purpose to glorify God. Very good answer. Anything else?
Their image.
Who said that? Yes, their image. What about their image?
That man mimics God, remains God's image, so angels remain God's image too.
Okay, the question is, are man and angels both made in the image of God? We will check that out later. Both are subject to God's sovereignty. God rules over all. God is God. And creatures are creatures. And creatures are always subject to God. Okay, very good. What are some differences between men and angels?
Angels don't have the offer of salvation.
Angels do not have the offer of salvation. Once they disobeyed, it was over. Their judgment was set. Period. The question of whether there are male and female angels, that's a good question. I'm not sure whether the answer to that is yes or no, but they're given male names, but that doesn't necessarily mean they are. When they appeared to Abraham, they appeared as men. That doesn't mean they are men.
I was going to say, they may not have sex.
Yeah, they may not be male or female. Yeah, that's a good answer, Ariel.
Didn't angels at one time have children with people? And like had
a we'll get there, but that's not for tonight. I don't think so, but some people do. Yes. There's something to the fact that they're not subject to the same natural laws as we are.
They also have supernatural powers that we do not have.
They have powers that we don't have, even as Luther said about Satan, on earth is not his equal. Going against Satan one-on-one is not what any human being should do. And being bold enough to cast out demons, I wouldn't do that, even as the book of Acts relays. You remember that story where somebody said, I adjure you by the Jesus that Paul preaches, come out of him. And they came out of him and whooped him up. And they're different creatures. They inhabit human beings. They inhabit pigs. Human beings don't inhabit human beings. So there's a lot of differences. Yes. To sing? I think so. I think they have the ability to sing. Well, that's because at Christmas time, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, it says in the Bible they spoke or said. So they weren't singing, they were just speaking. But I think that that's possibly a little nitpicky. Okay, we'll get to that more later. Brain burner. They have hierarchy. There are the archangels, and then there are the angels underneath them. They have levels. Talks about rulers, principalities in the heavenly places. So there are levels of rulership in the angel category.
Their relationship to men in those categories, because it was created,
Yeah, and then there's that issue that is different in two different passages. So we'll save that for later.
Aren't they sometimes related to light or like stars?
The heavenly host and the morning stars sing together. Hey, the morning stars sing together. Most people think the morning stars in that passage are angels.
And like when a third of the hosts fell from heaven, like
yeah.
Stars?
Yeah, they fell like stars from heaven. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll have to get into what death means later. Okay. What are some differences between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 in that little chart you have there? What is God in Genesis 1 and what is God in Genesis 2? I want two nouns. Anybody have any guesses? Just throw them out. Okay, he's the creator in Genesis 1 and he is the... covenant keeper. That's a little bit... that was a little bit difficult to get on this level. God is the creator in Genesis 1, and he is the covenant keeper in Genesis 2. Okay, God's name in Genesis 1 and God's name in Genesis 2. What name is he referred to in Genesis 1? Hello? God, which is the Hebrew word Elohim. And in Genesis 2, he is referred to as... okay, this, he is the Lord God, which is the Hebrew word. No, Adonai's Lord, but that's not the Lord that's here. Yahweh. When you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is Yahweh. When you see L-O-R-D spelled normally, that is Adonai. If you want to see that very clearly, turn to Psalm 110. Does that first verse sound funny? Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, or says to my Lord. Is my Lord talking to himself?
Well, we have one Lord in all caps, and we have one Lord just capitalized.
Right. We have one Lord in all caps, so what it is saying in the Hebrew is, Yahweh says to my Adonai. Now, who was David's Adonai? Who was David's Lord and Master?
Christ.
Christ was David's what? Great, 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 great grandson. Does it make sense that any grandson would be your Lord and Master? Makes no sense at all. That's why Jesus says, whose son is the Christ? Well, he's David's son. Then why does David say, he's my Lord? They had no answer for him. So there you have, Yahweh says to my Adonai. And in Genesis 2, it is the Lord God, Yahweh. Okay, God as and God as in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. These are adjectives. Okay, the name. God's name in Genesis 1 is Elohim, and in Genesis 2 is Yahweh. That is the reason why the first answer is God, the covenant-keeping God. Yahweh is God's covenant-keeping name. It's the one that he uses to establish relationship with people. Anybody have any ideas for God as? In Genesis 1, he's seen as God as powerful. He creates the heavens and the earth and everything in them in 6 days. But his creative power is not so much seen in Genesis 2 as him being personal. Establishing a relationship with Adam in creating for Adam the helper that is suitable for Adam. He is seen as personal in Genesis 2. In Genesis 1, the end of creation climaxes with the creation of man. And Genesis 2 ends with what? A what? A marriage. So we look at the events leading up to the creation of man, and then we see God as personal, the covenant-keeping God, establishing not only a relationship with man in himself, but man with man. Climaxes with marriage. Yes. Right. There was an approval of everything he had done. And in Genesis 2, there was a recognition that something was not good. But God fixed that by the sixth day, so that in Genesis 1, by the end of the sixth day, he could say, now everything is very good. And Genesis 1 deals with the 6 days of creation, and Genesis 2 deals with the sixth day of creation. Some people try to say these are two different oral traditions and weren't written by Moses and written by two different people. They have their reasons for saying such. There's just a different emphasis in the two chapters, that's all. There's not two different creation stories. Okay, now for your lesson. And we'll get through as much of it as possible, but we will end a little bit before 7 o'clock. Okay, lesson number 2, the days of creation. Now open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. And as Herb said, at the end of 6 days, God says it's very good. But it wasn't very good at the beginning. In fact, there's some problems with the creation at the beginning. What would you say are the problems at the beginning? What, John Michael? It's formless and void. Two problems. It's formless and it's void. There's chaos. So there's got to be a solution to the problem. And the first 3 days solve the problem of... There's two problems. Of it being formless. And the main idea each day is what word? Okay, the original problem is that it was formless and void. The solution to the problem for the first 3 days of creation solved the problem of it being formless. What is the main idea each day then? What happens each day? God says, let there be. But what do, he says that in the last 3 days too. What does he do the first 3 days that he doesn't do the last 3 days? He separates. That's how you make something formless have form. Such as, when your room is a mess and full of chaos, what do? You start separating things into piles. You put the clothes over here, the garbage over here, the curtains over here that fell off the window, or you put bedspread up. You separate everything, and now you have something that has form. So the idea is separation each day. So day one, what got separated? Nathan? Light and darkness. There's a separation of light and darkness. Obviously, there's a creation of light too, but we're emphasizing how we're solving the problem of formlessness. Day two, what got separated? The waters. There were waters above the waters. And what separated the waters from the waters? A firmament. You know what that Hebrew word means? See, we think firmament, we think of some pillar, firm. Doesn't really mean that. Know what firmament means? The same thing as heaven. You know what heaven means? Space. There was a space between the waters. So God separated the waters from the waters, and there was a space that separated the waters from the waters. Day three, what got separated? The land and the water. And in addition to that, we had vegetation created. Now, it is a dangerous thing to copy and paste because sometimes you don't do your edits right. So number two, the first 3 days have solved the problem of we've already done that, right, on your notes, number two. So the first 3 days should be the second 3 days for number two. Okay, sorry about that. The solution to the problem, we're looking at the last 3 days, not the first 3 days again. So the last 3 days, or the second 3 days, solved the problem of what? Of it being void. So what's the main idea each day? Hello?
Filling.
And also, what does he tell everything to do? Except the stars in the sky. Multiply. So the main idea is fill and multiply. Get everything full. It's void. For crying out loud, let's fill it up. Now they go hand in hand. What got separated on day one? Light and darkness. So what gets filled on day four? The skies. The heavens get filled on day four. The filling of the heavens with lights. Particular lights. The sun, the moon, and the stars. What gets separated on day two? The waters from the water. So what do you think is going to be filled up in day five? The sky and the water. So we're going to have what fills sky and what fills water? Birds and fish. Filling of the waters above and below with birds and fish. And what got separated on day six? The land. So what do you think is going to, well, excuse me, on day three? What got separated on day three? The land. So what do you think is going to happen on day six? The land's going to be filled with man and land animals. So when God created the heavens and the earth, everything was formless and void. He took 3 days to get it formed out, and he got 3 days to fill it up. And day one goes with day four, day two goes with day five, day three goes with day six. So now let's take a look at the meaning of the word day. Some of these have already been discussed. What is the meaning of the word day in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11? Anybody know what Exodus 20 is all about? The law, the Ten Commandments. So what is Exodus 28 through 11 about? The Sabbath. And what did God tell the nation of Israel they were supposed to do? Work for 6 days and rest a seventh day. Why? Because that's what God did. Because God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh. It's a literal day. God was not expecting the nation of Israel to work a week, a second week, a third week, a fourth week, a fifth week, a sixth week, and rest the seventh week. He was not expecting them to do that. He expected them to understand when he gave this commandment in the law about the Sabbath that they were supposed to work 24-hour days, six of them, and rest the seventh. It was a literal day. And it is related to creation. Okay, something else that was brought up today, 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 11. Anybody know what this talks about? It does talk about the day of the Lord. Nathan? A day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years goes back to a day. But there's nothing about creation. What is it about? It's talking about the coming of Christ and that God is not delaying his purposes. Because to God, 1,000 years is like a day. It's no big deal to him. And a day is 1,000 years. Time is irrelevant to God when it comes to him accomplishing his set purposes. So the verse that is used to extend the length of a day by the long day people is a verse that has nothing to do with creation. And the verse that short day people use to indicate it's a short day has everything to do with creation. So I wonder which one would apply more to our understanding of whether it's a long day or a literal day. Okay, look at Genesis 1:14. What is the meaning of the word day in Genesis 1:14, in Genesis 1:16, and in Genesis 1:18? Okay, what does it mean in Genesis 1:14? Okay, there's two.
The first one would be like a 12-hour period of light.
The first one is a 12-hour period of light. So can day mean more than a 24-hour period?
Yes.
Yeah, it can mean a 12-hour period. But in that same verse, it says for seasons, for days, and for years. Now, does day mean 1,000 years there? If it does, what in the world does year mean? I think day there means a literal 24-hour period. What does it mean in chapter 1, verse 16?
Daylight.
Daylight, a 12-hour period. What does it mean in verse 18? Same thing. So in those three verses, we see that it's a 12-hour period of light. Now we know that at least after the flood, the earth got tilted on its 23.5-degree axis, and it's not 12 hours all the time everywhere on the earth, but you know what we mean. It's a period of daylight. If you live in above the Arctic Circle or below the Antarctic Circle, you can have periods of complete 24-hour light. I understand that. But what we're talking about is a normal daytime light period. Okay, what does it mean in chapter 2, verse 4? Nathan.
Just a period of time.
A period of time. Does it mean 24 hours? I don't think so. Does it mean 12 hours? I don't think so, because the day that the Lord created the heavens and the earth was how long?
6 days.
So here we have a strange algebraic equation. 1 day equals 6 days. You cancel out day and 1 equals 6, and that's not mathematically correct. Okay, chapter 5, verse 5. What do we have there? A period of time. In fact, it's almost equated to, yes, a number of years. So all the days of Adam were so many years. That sounds sort of funny. All the days were years? Okay, we understand what he means. Not if we're looking at 24-hour time periods, though. That would be difficult to understand. Chapter 7, verses 4 through 17. Verse 4, for 7 more days. What's that? 24-hour period. I think Noah thought that's what it meant. Where's another verse that has days in it? Verse 10. Verse 11. Verse 12. Verse 13. What do those days mean? 24-hour periods. They're what we understand to be a day.
Who says those are literally 24 hours? What do you base that on?
What Noah would have understood by what the Lord said. If the Lord told you, after 7 more days, I will send rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will blot out from the land every living thing I have made. Would you be in the ark before those 7 days were up?
The word day could have meant something different. I could have understood it something different.
Tell me what it means. Tell me what it could mean. I'm just looking at it from Noah's perspective. From what I would consider the norm, if been in the hermeneutics class, the normal, natural, historical meaning of what was going on. When God said it was going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights, did Noah say this is going to be about a millennium?
The only reason I was asking is that there would be people that would say 7 is a number that refers to completeness. So, again, it could be when God's time period is complete.
I understand that, but I find that to be... this is just personal, an inappropriate way of interpreting the scriptures.
And I don't disagree with you.
I know. I understand. There will be people who go through here and find what the word 40 means and interpret that passage based upon what numerology, theology they have for 40. I think it just rained for 40 days. Noah was in the boat for 1 year. I think that means he was in the boat 1 year. And you could do your numerology, theology, and come up with all kinds of meanings as to what that means. I think it just means that he was in the boat 1 year. So you're going to have to, if you are one of those numerology theologists, you're going to have to bear with my simplicity. I just think it means what it says. Now, when it says, in the day God made the heavens and the earth, I know that's not a 24-hour period. And I can see how the word day is being used. But when it says it rained 40 days, I can't understand that any other way. So you'll have to bear with my simplicity. And then in 1938, not the year, but Genesis chapter 19, verse 38, what does the word day mean? Nathan? It means the present. It means now. To this day. So we got a period of time, years, literal day, and now. This is how this Hebrew word can be translated. So working with a good friend of mine over this issue, I don't want to get into an argument about what the word can mean. I know what the word can mean. The question is, what does it mean in Genesis 1? So we can come up with all these Bible studies explaining what the word can mean. I'll grant you that. What does it mean? Okay, well, we'll have to call it a night. Sorry. We will meet again in 2 weeks. Next week there will be a hermeneutic study that night. And in 2 weeks we will discuss the problems with a long day
the creation of man and what makes man different, and the creation of Eve and marriage. So let me, first of all, thank you for coming, and let me close this in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, and sometimes it may be difficult to understand and wrap our brains around it, but we thank you that you have revealed your truth to us, and we at least have a solid foundation from which to get our information. And we pray that you would enlighten us and help us to understand your truth, that we might not walk in darkness, but that we might worship the true and the living God, who has redeemed for himself mankind through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your gifts of your word, your spirit, and your Son. And we pray that your spirit would teach us your word, that we might grow into the likeness of your Son and give you the glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.